So we're very happy you all have come. You should come up here. We're very, very happy you have come today. We are traveling all over the world to teach the sublime method of how to achieve unlimited happiness through the self-realization process. In this world, we struggle very hard to make a living, which means to have enough money to pay our rent and to buy our food and our clothes, the doctor bills, etc. But we are very poorly equipped to find that actual happiness within the heart. Actually, within the heart, within us, we have unlimited happiness. There is an actual reservoir of unlimited happiness within the heart. But that's for thousands of years on this earth. That science of self-realization has been lost. It has been very carefully handed down from master to disciple. In a very limited way. In India. So now that, because of one great spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, this science is being spread all over the world. And today, it is here being presented in this university in Tartu, Estonia. So you should consider yourself to be very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to be introduced to the sublime science of self-realization. Just as within a match, fire exists. And all you have to do to get that fire is strike the match. Similarly, within you is an ocean of unlimited wisdom and unlimited happiness. It does not require a university degree. It simply requires that you come in contact with a proper striking surface and be in the proper frame of mind. If those two conditions are met, a proper striking surface and a proper frame of mind, the fire of spiritual enlightenment becomes ignited within your heart. So we have brought for you today the proper striking surface. And all we are asking from you is this: that you kindly be in the proper frame of mind. Because if you are, the seed of spiritual enlightenment will be planted in your heart today. And if you nurture that seed with care and attention, You'll become one of the great enlightened people on this planet. In the history of the world. So listen very carefully. You may be asking, well, what is the proper attitude? The proper attitude is called submissive hearing. It is not a difficult attitude. Just like when you take a course at the university, you open your mind up to learn what the professor is teaching. That's all you have to do today. You don't have to blindly accept anything. In fact, we want you to fully utilize your intelligence. But just kindly use your intelligence by paying close attention. Trying to understand with an open mind every concept that's being presented. And if you do so, we can assure you that you will find this subject matter to be the most amazing subject matter you've ever encountered in your entire life. You will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So now, with that introduction, we will begin to delve into this most sublime subject matter, which is known as the science of self-realization. Some people criticize, they say, but you're being brainwashed. Somebody is planting some weird Eastern ideas into your brain. But that is not a fact. The fact is that the pure enlightened consciousness of a liberated spiritual being is already existing within you. And with the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, that pure enlightened consciousness can easily be revived. So, step number one is to ask this question. Who am I? What do we normally answer when someone asks us who we are? We give them the name that is on our passport. Isn't it? But you can legally change your name. My father did not like his name that he got from his parents. So he changed it. And he got a new name of his own choosing. So are you your name? Is that actually you? No, it's not. So who actually are you? What is your actual identity? Are you that material body? This material body is changing at every minute. Every time we inhale, and every time we exhale, the body is changing. When we inhale, new chemicals are coming in and becoming a part of our body. And when we exhale, chemicals that we thought were us are now some part of something else. So you may look in a mirror and think, how do I look today? But what you're looking at is not actually you. Just like today, I may wear this brown jacket. And tomorrow I may wear something else. Am I that brown jacket? No, I'm not. So the self and the body are two different things. That's the first point we have to understand. The self means, just like you can remember experiences you had when you were a tiny child. The body has changed. But yet you can remember experiences you had when you were a small child. So the chemicals that you have now that make you up now are different from the chemicals you have when you were a small child. Yes. You want to carry it? All right. But yet you remember experiences you had when you were a small child. So therefore, we can understand the body and the self are two different things. So if you're not your body, and you're not your name, then what are you? This information should be taught by our parents. This education should be taught in our schools. When you come to the university, they ask you, what would you like to major in? But they don't even tell you who you are. The student could ask the university campus advisor, my dear advisor, you're asking me what I want to major in, but can you kindly first tell me who am I? Once I understand who I am, then it will be much easier to decide what I want to do. But they want you to decide what you will do with your entire life. Without ever telling you who you are. Actually, they're not even able to tell you who you are. Because they don't know who they are. This is the defect of our modern day education. Nobody has a clue who they actually are. But they're very busy going about doing their activities. Completely oblivious to the actual nature of the self. And therefore, in spite of so much advancement of this modern day civilization, we see that everywhere people are frustrated, people are miserable, people are angry, people are confused and completely bewildered. If this knowledge of the self can actually be given throughout the entire society, then all the problems of the world can be solved. There'll be no more hunger, no more terrorism, no more crime. People will be happy. People will live longer. The sickness will become much less. Everything will become very nice. We won't have to work so hard to make a living. We can be much more relaxed and happy and peaceful. All we have to do is understand, who am I? And what is my relationship with the totality of existence? Each and every one of us is a part of something much greater than ourselves. No one of us can claim that we are the complete whole. Each of us is part of a complete whole, which is much, much greater than us. So what is the nature of the part in relation to the whole? This we have to understand. Just like here in this little cassette recorder, there are different parts of the cassette recorder. There's the record button. There's the rewind button. There's the forward button. Play. Stop, eject. There's a volume switch. There's so many different parts. So what is the function of each part in relation to the complete whole unit? The function of each part is to serve the complete whole. If there's any part which is not serving the complete whole, then what do you have to do? You have to take it to the repair shop. It's broken. So, each and every one of us is a part of the complete whole of the totality of existence. And the difficulty is, if we don't know who we are, we are a broken part. And if you have a machine that has so many broken parts, then the machine will not operate properly. That is why there is so much chaos and havoc in the world right now. So, what we are doing, we have a movement known as the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And in this movement, what we are doing is we are a repair shop for the broken parts. We have a technique of how to take the broken parts and repair them so that they function properly in relationship to the complete whole. This repairing process is known as the science of self-realization. The nice thing is that all you have to do is get yourself back in tune with the complete whole. And then your life will become absolutely sublime and ecstatic at every minute. Even if everybody else stays out of tune with the complete whole, if only you will get back in complete harmony with the complete whole, your life will be unlimitedly ecstatic. It doesn't depend on everybody doing it. You can be the only one on your block who does it. So, what we are teaching is how that individual living being who is part and parcel of the complete whole, or God, can re-harmonize himself or herself, re-synchronize himself or herself with God or the complete whole. So the next question is then, how do I do that? how do I in fact synchronize or harmonize or dovetail, perfectly dovetail myself in individual consciousness with that supreme consciousness? To do that, we have to understand what is the nature of that supreme consciousness, that complete whole. God. We have to understand what is the nature of God, you see. Some people say, well, there is no God. But they only say that because they do not know what is God. Do you have a president or a prime minister here? Huh? In this country, Estonia?
Yeah, both.
Both. Who is the chief executive? Who has more power?
Prime minister.
Okay. So someone may come visiting Estonia, and they say, well, I've walked around Tartu. I've walked all around Tallinn. I went up and down the Baltic coast, and I never saw a prime minister here. So I have concluded that your country, Estonia, does not have a prime minister because I never met him. Therefore, you don't have one, is it? I stayed in your country for a whole week. And the Prime Minister never came to my hotel room to introduce himself to me. So I have concluded that you do not have a Prime Minister here. Because he never came to meet me. And I never happened to run into him when I was, walking down the street. So in the same way, there are many people who say there is no God. Because they never happened to meet him. And he never came and knocked on their door. But the fact is, if we actually understand what is the meaning of prime minister, then we can understand, yes, there is a prime minister. If we understand what is the meaning of God, then we can understand, yes, there is God. So then what is the meaning of God? It's very simple to understand what is God. God means the origin. The fountainhead of all energies. So, even the atheistic scientists, they are trying to find out what is the origin of the universe. Someone says it's the Big Bang. Someone says it's something else. There are many different theories. But they are all trying to find out what is the origin of the universe. Everyone agrees there is an origin for the universe. So, whether you're a theist, or you're an atheist, everybody agrees there is an origin. So actually everybody is a theist. Because God is the origin. So, since we understand that there is an origin, actually it's very simple logic to understand there is an origin. Do we have any experience of something coming out of nothing? Have any of you experienced something coming out of nothing? Just like, do Lay's potato chips just pop out of nothing? See, now they take the potatoes from the field and they cut them up and fry them and then they get Lay's potato chips. So Lay's potato chips do not pop out of nowhere. They come from potatoes. Then where do the potatoes come from? They also have a source. And that thing has a source. And that thing has a source. And you go back to the source of the Lay's potato chips. And you finally find that thing which has no source. So just by studying Lay's potato chips, we can discover God. I don't know if Lay's potato chips can capitalize on this, but it's a fact. You can take anything and trace it back. Anything, a tree, a flower garland, a tape recorder, a key. You can take any object of this world, those earrings, you see, that you're wearing. You can take any object of this material world. And you can trace it back until you finally reach God. So God is that source from which everything is coming. So the next question is, well, is that source a person or is it just some energy out there vibrating? That's the next question. Is God just some energy out there? Or is God a person? There's two different schools of thought. Some say that God is just an energy out there vibrating in the cosmos. And some say that God is a person. So, are both concepts true? Is one of those concepts true? Are neither of those concepts true? We should study this. I will give you one simple example. Let's say every day I brought you 1 kilo of pure gold. Every morning I came at your door and knocked on the door. I said, "Good morning, I'm Hare Krishna. I brought you your kilo of gold for the day. And I'm going to bring this to you every day for your whole life." You get kind of excited. Well, I can drop out of school. I don't have to work anymore. I'll just live a life of a millionaire. Jet set. I'll get my own little jet. No problem. I can buy all the politicians I want. I got it made. I'm going to get 1 kilo of gold every day. That's pretty good. Pure gold. But one day your curiosity gets the most of you. You say, Sankarshan Prabhu, where do you get all this gold? I'm so happy you're bringing me the gold. Where do you get all this gold from? You say, well, I have a gold mine. And they go, really? How much gold do you have in the gold mine? Well, I don't have any gold in it. Oh, come on, you're lying. You're covering it up. You must have a lot of gold in that gold mine. Otherwise, how are you bringing me 1 kilo every day of pure gold? So just try to understand. From that original source from which everything is coming, like the sun just came in the room, everything is emanating from that original source originally, you see. So from that original source, so many persons are coming. I'm a person. My translator is a person. You all are persons. There are so many persons here in this room. So many persons in Tartu. So many persons in Estonia. So many persons in the Baltic states. So many persons in Europe. So many persons on the entire planet.
You see,
there are so many persons. So therefore, that original source, that origin of everything, must possess personality. So how can we call it it? How would you like it if every day I said, and I said to you, I would say, how is it doing today? Instead of saying you, if I called you it, would you like that? I would say, it looks really good today in the blue shirt. You see, I mean, what would you feel like if I called you it? You might tolerate it for a few days, but I think after a while you become rather offended. I'm not an it. I'm a person. How you can call me it? So therefore, we should not call God it. God is a person. So whether it's he or she, that's... you can't say that. Whether God is he or she, that's another subject matter. Actually, in our Krishna conscious tradition, in our Krishna conscious wisdom, we understand God as she-he. Because we address God, Hare Krishna. Hare is the feminine aspect of God. And Krishna is the masculine aspect of God. So in our Krishna consciousness tradition, we address God as she, he. So for us, there's no debate whether God is she or whether God is he. We understand God is she, he. Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Hare Krishna. So the next question is then, why is God doing this? Why is Krishna emanating from himself all of us? What's the point? In the Sanskrit literatures which describe Krishna or God in great detail, there is a word which describes Krishna, and that word is Atma Ram. Atma Ram means self-enjoyer. God doesn't need anything else, he can just enjoy being himself or herself. Or she, he, self. His, she, he, self, whatever you want to say. So, why does God, or why does Krishna or God do this? Why is he expanding from himself all these innumerable living beings? Since he can enjoy being all alone if he wants to, why is he expanding from himself all these living beings? Because we are expansions from God. We can analyze our own natures. Just as one piece of rice will tell you the nature of all the rice within the pot. You can study your own nature to understand what is God. Our nature is we like to have association. We do not like to be alone. That is our nature. So that nature actually originates in God, Krishna. Krishna or God wants to have unlimited opportunities to exchange love with others. Therefore, he expands from himself millions and billions of living entities. For the purpose of having a loving relationship with them. So that's why you exist. You don't exist because your mother and father wanted to have a baby. You exist because God wanted to have a special type of loving relationship that only you can give him. Just like there are no two snowflakes that are exactly alike. There are no two people who are exactly alike. Each and every one of you has unique qualities and characteristics which are possessed only by you and nobody else in the entire universe. And that is so because Krishna or God wants to have a special type of loving relationship that you and only you can give them. So the self-realization process that we are describing to you today is a bringing back together between you and that Supreme Person in a relationship of loving reciprocation. God loves you and he wants your love in return. In our present world situation, honestly speaking, we've forgotten how to love God. That's why we're not happy. Just as a fish cannot be happy unless he is in the water, the living being cannot be happy unless he or she has reestablished his or her lost loving relationship with the Supreme Being. So we want to teach you how to do that. This is an ancient science known as yoga. Yoga means to link or connect yourself with God. There are many different types of yoga. There's the yoga where you sit down and go, om. You see? There's the yoga where you engage in philosophical speculation of the Vedanta Sutra. There's Kundalini yoga. There's so many types of yogas. The ultimate purpose of all types of yogas is to reconnect with God. So we are teaching a type of yoga which is called bhakti, B-H-A-K-T-I, for those who are taking notes. B-H-A-K-T-I, bhakti yoga. Bhakti means loving devotion. In each and every type of yoga, the goal is to absorb the mind fully in God. That's the goal. In some types of yogas, they sit and do the breathing, you know, and all these things. That is for making the mind very peaceful so that gradually they can fix the mind just like a lamp in a windless place with no deviation, totally absorb the mind in God.
Erinevates jogades, näiteks kus istutakse ja hingatakse ühest ninasõrmest sisse teisest välja, on selleks, et keskenduda täielikult oma tähelepanu.
That is done through a system of actually forcing the mind to stay to remain still.
Et see on süsteem, kus siis sunnitakse mõistus täielikult keskenduma ühe asjale.
Through the breathing exercises and the bodily postures, you force the mind to stay absolutely still.
Läbi hingamisharjutuste ja kehapooside, siis sunnitakse mõistus.
But that's very difficult when you have a homework assignment that's due. Or you have to get to work on time to pay your bills. Or your boyfriend's calling you out for a date. You see, that system requires You have to go to the Himalayan mountains in India and totally forget about the modern day world. Those yogis don't even bring nail clippers. They totally neglect their body. They don't bring a comb or a brush. They don't bring razor blades and shaving cream. They don't bring toothpaste. They don't even bring food or a blanket. They sit there in the Himalayan mountains and maybe eat a few berries or something that's growing, or a few roots that are growing in the nearby area. That's it. And if a cobra comes, a tiger comes, they simply sit there in their meditation. They're not allowed to run. So it's not a very easy yoga to do. There's no question of, you know, an internet connection or writing a postcard back to home, or writing a postcard back to Tartu, you know, having a great time in the Himalayas, wish you were here. There's no question of any of that. You have to cut yourself off from all your friends, all of your family, and the entire human society. Okay, who wants to volunteer to go to the Himalayas? To become self-realized. I don't see any volunteers. So we have a system of yoga which is much easier than that. This bhakti yoga system will give you the same result of complete, total spiritual enlightenment. And you can stay with your family members. You can stay with your friends. You can stay in your education. You can stay in your job and become self-realized. So this is what we are teaching. How is it so effective? You may be wondering, how is it possible to be in the middle of all of this material nature and become completely spiritual? The answer is quite simple. When you are in love, you cannot do anything but think of your beloved 24 hours a day. Isn't it? When you have a crush on somebody, when you're in love, all you can do is think about them 24 hours a day. So this bhakti yoga science is a system of how to fall madly in love with God. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It's the same principle. Because actually, we are not male or female. As we discussed earlier, we are not these material bodies. They're just a covering, like the jacket. The actual spiritual being is neither male nor female. Right now we are simply wearing an external covering of male or female. So the actual secret of success in spiritual enlightenment, on the spiritual enlightenment path, is to revive the feelings of love for God which are already there in your heart right now. To realize that God is a person who is showering you with unlimited love and kindness at every minute. To actually awaken your spiritual senses so you can feel His love for you, His powerful love being poured upon you at every minute. Where you can actually feel that love coming to you at every minute. And where you naturally want to reciprocate with that love. This is called the Bhakti Yoga Science. And this is what we are teaching you. We have books available. After the end of the lecture, you can come. It's first come, first served. There's only 12 books and there's about 20, 30 of you. But it's first come, first serve.
We
have a center here. We do have more books back at the center. On, what do you say, Rhea Avenue? R-I-R-R-I-I-A. Rhea. We have a center here. You can come. I'll be giving a lecture there tomorrow evening. At what time? Huh? 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be giving a lecture there. There'll be some nice food also. So anyway, we are here in Tartu for this purpose, to teach you how to achieve unlimited happiness through the self-realization science. That's why we're here. And we wanted to give you a little demonstration now of how we go about awakening those feelings of love of God in the heart. It's done through music. So, how many people like music here? Anybody? Any music fans? All right, there we go. Some music fans. Very good. Very good. Yeah, music is actually a very powerful, wonderful thing. So, we're going to show you our music, which is very powerful music. And we're going to teach you how to join in. This is meditational music. And it's not actually a performance like a rock band. This is a meditational thing that everybody can be a part of it. We want all, just as much as I'm doing it, you can also be a part of it. And here's how we do it. Yeah, it's written up there. I'm going to sing a mantra. And then you all can sing it back one time, and then I will sing it to you. You will sing it to me. And this way we just keep going back and forth. So after the mantra is written on the board, okay, it's very simple. Everybody can repeat after me. We'll practice here. I will say, and then you repeat back to me. Hare!
Hare!
Krishna!
Krishna!
Hare!
Hare!
Krishna!
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 Hare!
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 Rama!
Rama!
Hare!
Hare!
Rama!
Rama.
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 Hare.
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 Now, let me give you a little background. What happens is, you see, this is actually amazing. These are mystical sound vibrations. This is an ancient mantra given by great self-realized teachers of ancient India. God Himself is present in this mantra. So when you sing this mantra, you are directly associating with God. So the point is, sing with love. Because God is now coming to you in the form of this mantra.
And you
can show Him how much you love Him by singing with love. will sing one time, and then you all sing back, and we'll go back and forth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ah. You're pretty good. I'll take you on my world tour with me. That'd be great. We can go chanting all over the world. So, that's how we reconnect the individual consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. And when you do that, when you connect your individual consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness, then you attain a state known as Krishna Consciousness. So that's we are teaching how to become Krishna conscious. So, does anybody have any questions? Does anybody not fully understand how to become completely spiritual enlightened? Let's see a show of hands who already realize perfectly well how to become fully spiritually enlightened beings. Let's see how many people know that. Raise your hands if you know. You completely know the science of how to become a fully enlightened spiritual being. I don't see any hands going up. That means all of you have a lot to learn about how to become spiritually enlightened beings. Therefore, we're giving you the opportunity now to ask questions. We're not even charging money for this session. Do you realize that the knowledge we're giving you here today is easily worth $10,000? But out of kindness, we're giving it free. But actually, it's worth at least $10,000. The knowledge we're giving you here today. Buy $10,000, $100,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000,000. You cannot put a price tag on this knowledge. Maybe if we charge money for the questions, we might get some questions. $100 a question, that's how much we're charging. And then we might get, oh, it's worth $100? All right, I'll pay $100 to ask a question. Actually, this system is so powerful and so effective. That for many, many years we've been making an offer. That if you will follow this system of Krishna consciousness for 6 months with full seriousness, carefully following all the instructions we give you and how to do it, if you do not find at the end of 6 months that you're the happiest, most fulfilled and knowledgeable person you beyond what you could ever dream you could have been, then we will give you 10,000 euros cash. No one has ever come forward for the money yet. Because this system is effective, it works. If you will follow this system of Krishna consciousness, you will become a fully spiritually enlightened being in due course. We guarantee it. So, if there's no questions, we can ask a question. Question is, where does this mantra come from? This is described by Narottam Das. He says, Golokera Prema Dhana Hari Nama Sankirtana, which means this Hare Krishna mantra, it is imported from the spiritual world. It is not an invention of this material world. It comes from beyond this realm of time and space. And if you chant it with all seriousness, it will take you beyond this realm of time and space. Into that deathless realm of immortality. Question? More? Mm. of the mantra. What does it mean literally? Okay. Krishna means the supreme. Hare is addressing the energy of God. And Krishna is addressing God.
Rama.
The Rama. Rama means the supreme enjoyer.
Rama tähendab kõrgemat nautijat.
Hare means the energy of God. Krishna means the all attractive one, and Rama means the supreme enjoyer.
Hare on Jumala sisemine energia. Krishna on siis kõike köitav ja Rama on kõrgem nautija.
By chanting these names, we are asking the Lord in His energy that you kindly engage me in your service.
Kui me kordame seda mantrat, siis see tähendab, et Jumal ja tema energia lahkelt tulevad meid teenida.
If you love someone, don't you want to serve them?
Kui te kedagi armastate, kas te ei taha siis seda teenida?
So that's why we ask, by asking the Lord to please engage us in your service, that awakens the feelings of love in the heart.
Kui me palume Jumalat, et palun luba mind siin teenida, siis see arendabki meie armastustundeid.
Questions, Mar? That's good. Yes.
Why we came here to suffer?
Why did we come here to suffer?
Yes. That's a very good question. Why are we suffering? Actually, our original position is in the spiritual world with Krishna or God. That's our original position. So why are we suffering here? That answer is very simple. Love is voluntary. Love cannot be forced. If I force you to love me by putting a gun into your head, you cannot love me. Love is when there is no force. I simply give you my love, and then you can reciprocate or not according to your free choice. That is actual love, you see, from your side. So Krishna or God is giving us unlimited love.
Krishna, Jumal, annab meile, piiritud armastust.
And He is not forcing us to reciprocate that love. He is giving us a free choice whether we or not we want to reciprocate His love.
Ta ei sunni meid ennast armastama, vaid ta annab meile vaba valiku, kas me tahame teda armastada vastu või mitte.
Because of that free choice, sometimes the living being will make the mistake of thinking, well, let me try not loving God and see if that's better.
Seetõttu mõnikord elus antab sellise vea, et ta mõtleb, kas ma proovin mitte armastada Jumalat, äkki siis on parem.
And then after he tries it for a while, he realizes it's not so great. Let me try loving God again and see if that's better. The mother warns the children, do not stick your hand in the fire because it will burn. Don't stick your hand in the fire because it will burn. The children obey the mother. But one of the children, when the mother goes out of the room, he wants to try it and see what it's like. So he tries sticking his hand in the fire. Is it? He tried it, but he got burned. So, we got burned. This material world is a burn. We tried sticking our hand in the fire. And now we're suffering with a burn. But, if we simply can take through this Bhakti Yoga system, we can revive that original loving relationship with God. We will not stick our hand in the fire anymore. And we will go back to our original position, which is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss in the spiritual kingdom. That was a wonderful question. Thank you very much for that.
Questions?
More?
why Krishna gave us this choice?
Why did Krishna give you the choice? Because, of course, he could make you a slave if he wanted to. He is powerful. This your girlfriend here? No, okay. But let's say, would somebody rather have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or they would have a slave? I mean, what's more enjoyable, having a slave or having a husband or a wife? I mean, people would much rather have a free person who chooses to love them than to force someone else to love them by coercion. So this is why God gives you a choice. He could force you just to serve Him by force, but then you're a slave. A slave does that, you know, who's forced to love someone, you can't really love when you're forced. So He gives you the choice to love or not to love. Because then he can actually get your love, is what He really wants. He wants your love, not your forced service. That's why you have a choice. Just like people will keep, and people like to have a dog that you can let free to roam and he'll still come home. As opposed to a dog you have to keep chained all the time. Questions more?
I was to ask, why are there so many kinds of religions in the world, and what do you think of Jesus?
Yes, this is a very good question. Religion is actually one. To love God. There are many great teachers throughout history who have come to teach us how to love God. Lord Krishna taught how we can love Him, God. Many other great gurus in India came and taught how to love God. Jesus came to Israel and taught how to love God. They're all teaching actually the same thing. But the message is adjusted according to the particular audience at that time in a way that they can understand at that particular time in that particular culture. But the essential teaching of all these great teachers is exactly the same. To love that supreme being. Just as there are many languages in this world. There's Estonian, Russian, Latvian, Finnish, English. And in each and every language there's a different name for God. But still, God is one person. So in different religions also they have different names for God. But that's not a problem, because God is multilingual. Whether you address Him in Estonian, whether you pray in Russian, whether you pray in English, or whether you pray in Sanskrit, this is Sanskrit language. The language does not matter, but the love is what matters, the love in your heart. The love is what counts, not the language you use. Questions more?
Is it essential to practice this mantra in a group?
You can chant it individually also. Who has japa? Just like we have a system of individual chanting also. We have beads called japa beads.
And
this is for your own private meditation. Every morning, members of our Krishna Consciousness Movement get up as early as possible Take a nice shower. And they peacefully chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, around the beads. They spend 1.5 to 2 hours every day chanting around these beads, their own individual private chanting. So then after we do our private chanting, then we also have our group chanting. So we do both. But the group chanting makes our private chanting better. And the private chanting makes our group chanting better. So they feed off each other. They complement each other. Both them. Questions, Mark? What is she saying?
Do you know any other mantras?
Yes, we have many mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We have many. Actually, we have thousands and thousands of mantras. We have one book called the Srimad Bhagavatam. It has 18,000 mantras. This Bhagavad Gita has about 700 or 800
mantras.
The Sri Upanishad has 19 mantras. So we have many, many, many thousands of mantras. But this mantra here is called Maha Mantra. Because it is the greatest of all the mantras. It is recommended in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. That of all the mantras, this mantra is the most powerful mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any more questions? You want a sign up sheet or something? You want to make an announcement? Yeah, go ahead, make an announcement. You want to announce?
Let me hear something. Yes, we have a program tomorrow for the center, and we'll give you the address and the phone number. We'll write on the board so everybody can note it down.
Me